If you've got your Bibles, then we'll turn. Jeremiah 18 is where we're going to be at, and we'll be in verse 1 through 4. But Jeremiah 18, back in the day, Judah was going about their business, and they were ignoring God. And with poor leadership and poor kings to guide them, they just kept focusing more about life on the outside, the fallible, the carnal. They focused on all the things that they thought was going to make them happy and bring them joy into their life. And they forgot. The more that they focused on themselves and the things that they desire and the stuff, Brother Mike, the more they focused on stuff, the less they just kept pushing God farther and farther away. Farther and farther away. We're not far from that today in America. You know, we were formed on the basis of a biblical basis. Almost all of our early documents was based on biblical desire and need and knowing that God had presented us with that opportunity here in America. Well, Judah, look at them. Look what God had given them. Look what he had brought them through. We look at the Exodus, and we look at them wandering in the wilderness. Great nations, one right after the other after they crossed the river. And yet, we forget that it was God that gave them that to start with. And many times, I think our nation, we're forgetting who gave us this nation, who presented us and gave us the life we're living. Now we're living such a life. That it becomes personal, what I want, what I love, what I desire. And, you know, Jeremiah was chosen before he was even born to be what he was to be and to carry a message to Judah and tell him, you're failing, you need to hear. God has sent me to tell you that you're failing. But people don't want to hear. Those people didn't want to hear any more about sin and the problem of sin than the ones that are absent here today. There is a need to hear about what sin causes us in our life. There's a need to hear the word presented and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to fall where it needs to fall. You know, in John 3:18, it tells us that he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That might be 17. But anyway, it is our impact that we as a church have an impact to get to those that have forgotten. The people of Judah had forgotten what was important. They had forgotten what it was that was so great until it was. He says, it's a song about a man and a wife, and they were arguing over his desire to fish. He loved to fish, and she said, you know, it just is taking over everything. And if you don't stop with your fishing like it is, I'm going to leave. And I'm never going to come back home. And the point of the course was, I'm sure going to miss her when she's gone. He went out, and it goes on, and he takes his fishing pole and his pickup truck, and he goes and he fishes, and he comes back, and the love of his life is gone. You know, sometimes that's the way that we embrace sin. We embrace sin because we know that where sin's going to leave us, but we don't miss it till it's gone. You know, I think that we need to understand that God is always going to be with us and to stay with us. But I tell you what, his judgment came upon Judah. As Jeremiah tried to present the word of God to Judah, Judah just, well, I'm too busy for that. I've got too many things going on for that. I've got to be and work at that. I need some stuff that I need. This is what I need to buy. I want my household. I want this. I want that. All the want-tos came in the way, and God was the afterthought. And they didn't miss him until he was gone. He hadn't gone anywhere. But he withdrew his spirit from that people. He withdrew himself from that people so that they felt distant. They felt hopeless. But they didn't find that out until Babylonians were upon them. All of a sudden, they were captives. All of a sudden, where are you, God? Where? And teaching and weeping as he kept telling them, you got to stay close to God. If you turn from God, God will turn his back on you. Oh, no, God has always been there. We can do whatever. Hey, we've taken God for granted. And I think we've taken God for granted in this country as well. You know, I'm not political here today, and we hit this in Sunday school class. Where's Brother Don at? We hit this in Sunday school class. We're not political, but I'm going to tell you what, Brother Don, we need to be godly no matter what the politics are. These people were following whatever it was, their leadership. The leadership, the king, led them straight into captivity because he led them away from God. People have a tendency when they haven't, when they're on the outside of God, they don't want to be there by themselves. Sinners, people that are outside of God's will, they are trying to pull people into that so that they don't feel so bad and lonely and outside. And that's what happened. They were all trying to please each other, and they forgot they can't be pleased without God. I'm going to tell you what, you can't be pleased, you can't be blessed without God. The scripture this morning, if you'd like to stand with me in the reading of the word, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 4. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray a blessing upon your word. We invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts right now, Lord. Lord, that we might see the misgivings, that we might see the shortfalls, that we might see our failings. And Lord, that we might always be found serving you. And Father, I just pray that you just take this broken, cracked vessel that I am and make it into what you would have me to be, Father. Just pray that be the prayer of our lives today, Lord, that you would make us what you designed and have purpose for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I've talked to many people that have made excuse why they can't serve God. You know, I've talked to people that say, well, preacher, I've just done too many things. God can't accept me. I've been too bad in my life. I've done things that I'm ashamed of and I can't forget. But God, that's the marred vessel that he can take and he can be the potter, and he can take the marred vessel. He can take the cracked vessel. He can take the vessel that has failed and make it into something of purpose, something that he needs, something that makes us a useful vessel for the Lord. How can God forgive me with all the failings in my life? How can God forgive me of what I've done in my life? Well, I'm telling you what. That's why he sent his son. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus, his only son. That's why he sent him as a child and was born. He sent Jesus Christ to heal your brokenness and your broken heart and your broken vessel. He sent his son to make you whole, to make you with purpose. Oh, I've been, those that have been gone for church members that may have been gone or have been gone for a while, you need to come back to church. Well, I've been gone so long, I'm ashamed. And I can't come back because I'm ashamed. What was the shame brought upon our Christ as they beat him, as they threw stones at him, as they spit upon him? You know, I can take a lot of things. I can take a good blow or two. I can take a kind of a beating. But I'm telling you, I don't like to be spit on. Man, that's shame. That just seems. And when they spit upon Jesus, he took it. Why did Jesus take it when he could have called a legion of angels? Why did Jesus do that? Because he did it to heal your shame. Oh, there's not enough shame that Jesus can't get. He can cover it all. He's got enough love that it covers it all. Jesus, is the reason. Why would God want me? Because I am so broken. You know, we go through things in life. Sometimes it's financial failure. Sometimes it's marriage failure. Sometimes it's just failing our friend or failing somebody next to us. And we feel so broken because we fail so miserably those that we love so much, you know? But God says, you can't fail enough. The failure that I had a grandson one time, a grandson, I said, you need to go down and get you a job. And he says, well, Grandpa, I'd really like, well, Grandpa, I'm, if you don't like Walmart, I said, you can go down here to Dickie Bubs. And, well, Grandpa, I'm afraid that I won't know how to do that and I'll fail. And I explained to him, the only failure is one that will not start. That's the failure. The failure is if you do not come back to the Lord, and if you do not come back to serving, or if you don't have the heart of a servant, you have failed yourself. God will never fail you. He'll take your sin. What is it? How far, brother, does he separate the sin? That's right. They never touch. He'll take all the brokenness, all the shame, all the failures that's happened in life, and he will take them, and upon one request, Lord, forgive me, he'll put them to where they can't be found, seen, or touched for eternity. One thing is all you have to do is be willing to take it to God. Let's look at some of those vessels that was marred. You know, we take Moses. Oh, Moses, you know, he wound up getting angry and killing an Egyptian guard. Remember that? He was a murderer and he fled because he was a murderer and he ran and escaped the punishment that he would have received. He ran and he escaped. This is a murderer. And while being a murderer, God put a bush that was burning in front of him and started talking to him. Oh, Lord, what do you want? What is this? What is it in front of me? Well, I want you to do something, Moses. Well, I am. I'm tending sheep. But that's not why I made you. That was just this vessel. It's just the very tip of this vessel. I have formed you into being a vessel of service. Well, Lord, I stutter. Moses, I can fix anything. He might still stutter, but I'll let Aaron go with you. And if you start stuttering, Aaron will take care of it. Don't make excuse, Moses. He took Moses that found every crack and every flaw in the vessel that he was, and he took that flaw and he remade that pot, that vessel, into a man that would stand before the most powerful man on earth, human to human. He stood before him and he proclaimed God's message. Well, the Pharaoh could have killed him. I had thought about that a long time ago. You know, Pharaoh could have killed him justly. You're a murderer. I can kill you. Why didn't Josh? Why didn't he kill him? God's hand was on him. God's hand was on him. And if God's hand's on you, you cannot be touched. God has the power to heal, make. And he created that man to make an exodus, to bring the people out, to give them a way, to guide them. Oh, God made a perfect vessel. No. God hadn't made him a perfect vessel yet. He just kept, you know, God was in the middle of forming and creating the vessel. Moses had learning experiences, and we have that too. Sometimes we go, we read our Bible and we see things. It's a learning experience. Or we go to church and we hear something that's a learning experience, and that's God's hands upon us. Just keep forming and keep making it. Oh, this needs to be stronger because he's weaker. Let me put a little more of the clay on and make him stronger. Make him what he needs to be. Our Father, our God, can make each one of us of who we need to be. He has the power. And so many times we put limitations on God. God is a God that can take the broken, no matter how broken it is, and make it into the beautiful vessel. You know, God has the ability to take away our sins, our infirmities, and you may think it's in your way. You know, Satan puts a lot of things in our way. Oh, he loves to put things in our way. He loves to put shame in our way. Oh, he loves to put failures in our way. He loves to put just even the question of faith in our way. And he'll test us. He'll put it to us. But God will never leave nor forsake us. He's promised. And if God's promised it, it cannot be taken away. How about Jonah? Jonah was a coward. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't know how much of a coward he was, because he was going to go to Nineveh and speak to the king. And Nineveh, man, they was mean people. They were the Persians. They were mean. The Assyrians were mean. And you go, Jonah, I want you to tell them that they're failing, that they're not acting right, and that I'm going to punish them. I'm going to condemn them. I'm going to destroy them if they do not straighten up. Let me think about this. Tell him the king is, you've really messed up. You're not a good leader. Your people need to surrender to God. They need to do the right thing. And matter of fact, king, you are too. You're a sinner. And I can flee as far as I can flee. And I won't have to do God's will. Look at the pews. They have fled. They have flown, fled, gone. You know, you're gonna miss them when they're gone. But they're gone. They're gone. They're afraid of something. People, he fled because he was afraid of what he was going to have to do. I'm going to tell you what, many church members has fled service too. Oh, it's going to be expected of me. What's going to be expected of me? Is God going to expect me to teach a class? Is God going to expect me to always be there, to be a mentor, to be somebody that can prove themselves before us? I just don't think I can do it. The best way to do that is flee. I'm going to tell you what, if you're God's vessel, There's no, you can't travel far enough to escape God. God's judgment is on those that flee. They tend to wonder, why is my life turned upside down? What's happening to me? What's happening? What happened to this and what happened to that? Oh, I've told my children, maybe you need to turn it back to God. You know, it's what Jeremiah was telling them. You need to turn back to God. If God is not in your foresight, if he's not in front of you, you're not looking at him right. You've turned your back on him, and it's not a good place to be, turning your back on God. Not. We wonder why. Why? Well, Jonah was going to, he was going to tell him that God's going to punish him, but God took the broken vessel and formed the clay into Jonah, that he took this coward. And he must have really added some real thick clay, because he became bold, he became brave, and he went to Nineveh, and he preached to Nineveh, he preached to the king, he went before him and told him what God's word was. And God forgave the Ninevites. Whoa. Made Jonah mad. Wait, you put me through all that, and I've been in the belly of a whale, and you're going to forgive them after I come and I brought that message? I want it my way. Well, we all want it our way. Hey, God has a purpose. Do you know, in 1946, they did an excavation of Nineveh, and they found two mounds, a great mound and a smaller mound. The great mound was of the king. Inside it was all the things kind of like the pyramids. You know what the smaller mound was? There's only two mounds, the mound of Jonah. Wow, he had an impact. He had an impact to where they looked at him as being one that had brought them the message of God that had spared them, and he says, God, but he got mad before he got right. He said, Lord, you need to punish him. And then the Lord puts it before him, breaks his heart too. Sometimes we want to judge pretty quick. That's not what it's about. God's the judge. God's the judge on the empty pews. God is the one that will burden the hearts. But it is our love that will bring them back. The love enough to share the scripture. The love enough to talk to them about what they're missing. The love enough to take the message of God before them and forgive and bring them in. Love at Christ and on. Hey, this 11th commandment. This is a new commandment I give. We can go on and I tell you what. God has purpose in your life and he has the ability to make you anything you need to be. He took fishermen. They weren't carpenters, they were fishermen. But he made them into church builders. They built a church that stands today, right here. He took fishermen and a tax collector and a zealot and we don't know what the other six were because it doesn't mention, but he used them in a great way. Wow. He formed them into something unbreakable. What kind of a hammer was it going to take to break Peter? What was strong enough to break the apostles? Nothing. They went to their death serving God. They went all the way to the end for their God because they knew their God had sent Jesus to go all the way to the end for them and to present them before the Master, before God. We're here today because God created those vessels. We're here today because those men actually stood up. In Mark 16:15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here we are. Here we are because these vessels were used in the purpose that God had created them. They knew what their design were. Jesus let them know, you know, when Jesus came back and says, what happened, guys? You all went fishing. Well, Lord, you weren't here. I don't have to be here. I'm here all the time. I'm here all the time. I knew you were fishing. I knew when you were secretly talking to each other. Well, we don't know what to do. Let's just go fishing. He said, that's why I'm here. I want to let you know that I am always near. I am always here. And anyway, it doesn't matter, you know, where you came from, what your occupation is. Fisherman, tax collector, automobile builder, it don't matter. It don't matter who you are, what you are. God has a purpose and you are his vessel and you can bring him honor. He will give you opportunity to bring him honor. That's why we're here today. We're not here because I'm glad to see Brother Brian. I just love him so much. I like Josh too, but I want to be here and visit with him. But I'm telling you, the reason that we're here is we come to worship. I pray that that's why you're here today, that you come to worship. You're a vessel that is bringing honor to your God. He's the potter. He can shape your life to whatever the need and the purpose of accomplishment needs to be. You know, we take a look at Peter. Oh my, you talk about shame. Well, I can't go back. I'm so ashamed of what I've done. Peter denied Christ three times. And then Jesus had the nerve to ask him three times, Lovest thou me? Well, my love's not in question, but is your love in question? Loveth thou me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep was all he said. He didn't say, you're in trouble, boy. He said, feed my sheep. That's what it's all about. I designed you. You're a vessel to bring honor unto the Lord. You're a vessel. Feed my sheep. He would become, after Jesus ascended, Peter was the face of the church in Jerusalem. He was, in Acts, we find the power that God put upon the apostles, and how that God changed just all the things around about them. And as the Comforter, as the Holy Spirit come down and placed the conviction upon the hearts. You can't put conviction there, but God can. But it's up to you to place the seed. It's up for you to sow the seed. I think I mentioned that the last time. The man was full of shame, but God made him a vessel. He had become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Then we had Thomas. It says, you guys is hallucinating. He didn't come in behind that door. And then Jesus shows up the next time and says, Thomas, thrust your hand into my side. Oh, Lord, I am so sorry. Wait, you doubted me. You doubted your brothers. You doubted everybody. Doesn't matter if you're doubting Thomas about things. Doesn't matter if you've doubted God. If the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and you're not saved, don't doubt today, because Jesus died to save your soul. And then we go on and we see that Thomas wound up preaching according to word or legend or tradition. He took the ministry, he took Christ, the Christian ministry, to India, and they say possibly even China. We've got one guy that, what if you had been Saul? What if you'd went about your life chasing down Christians, kicking in doors to homes, grabbing Christian people and taking them and having them imprisoned and then having them stoned? It was said that Saul held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen that day. He watched as they stoned Stephen. He chased down the Christians and did everything he could do. And he was on his way to get more of them to put in prison or to have slain when the Lord come upon him. He meant well. He called Christians heretics until he met the Lord. There's a lot of people that don't understand who Christ is until they get on their knees and say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me. Make me a vessel. Make me a vessel, dear God. But I'm telling you what, here he comes. God says, I'm going to make you right vessel. He shined a light upon him and things changed. And in the end, in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, in the 24, starting with verse 24, he's talking about what he suffered or what he went through or endured serving God. He said, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. At night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my mind, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils by among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often in hunger and in thirst, and fasting often in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which come unto me daily, the care of all the churches. It took a murderer. Took a man that was so intent to serve the Jewish faith that he did terrible, terrible things. And what do you got ashamed of? What shame have you got in your life? What convictions there? This man had more convictions upon him. I think about that, and I think about how Satan would try to use that on Saul all the time. No, didn't use it on Saul, used it on Paul. Because Paul came out of it because God brought him and brought him into the light, and he gave his life to the Lord and his life changed. He walked 10,000 miles in his missionary journey. Walked. Wasn't a car. Wasn't a scooter. Wasn't anything. He walked 10,000 miles to serve the one that he had to have been ashamed how he treated, you know. But it wasn't for shame that he did it. It wasn't because he was ashamed. It wasn't because he was broken. It wasn't because of any. He did it because he honored God. He was a vessel of honor. Oh, God can use us as vessels of honor. Paul was a great man, and, and he wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Paul had a desire to see the church thrive. Why are we here? Men like Paul. Why are we here? There was a young man. He was born into a family. When he was born, he had one brother and I think seven sisters, or six brothers and one sister. But anyway, it don't matter. He was the eighth child. And then his dad died. And right after, a month after his dad died, his mother gave birth to twins. So she was alone to raise nine children. She did the best she could for as long as she could. And finally, at 4 years old, this young man and his older brethren, other siblings, the mother said, "You've got to leave the house. I can't feed you. I can't give to you. I need you to leave the house, and you need to go." And she arranged for him and the others to do chores with families around. They were so poor. And he didn't get the education he needed because he had to work for his food and shelter. And he went back to his mom one time and says, "But Mom, I want to be here. I want to come home. It's just not right." And she said, "Are you getting to eat?" "Yes." "Do you have a place to sleep? Do they treat you well?" "Yes." "Go back. I can't take care of you." This young man, he grew up and about 17 years old, he took off and he went to Boston and went to work for his uncle. And his uncle says, "I'll let you come to work." He couldn't find a job anywhere near where he lived in Massachusetts. So he says, his uncle says, "I'll let you work here, but you have to go to church. You must go to church if you want a job and you want to live with me." He was a shoe salesman. You already know, don't you? He was a shoe salesman. And he started, you know, he had to go to church. And when he was in Sunday school, his Sunday school teacher, Ed, got to talking to him, got to trying to teach him. But one of the things that Ed had said, a quote, "I can truly say, and in saying it, I magnify the infinite grace of God as bestowed upon him, that I have seen few persons whose minds were spiritually darker than was his when he came to my Sunday school class. I think that the committee of Mount Vernon Church seldom met an applicant for membership more unlikely to ever become a Christian of clear and decided views of the gospel of truth, still less to fill any extended sphere of public usefulness." This boy is useless. He's troublesome. He's got a dark spirit. And then another man that had visited after he started preaching a little bit, he said this man would, another man who had attended a small church meeting with him as a ministering, he was trying to read a story to a young boy that was sitting on his lap about the prodigal son. And a great many words he couldn't even read, and he had to skip. I thought, if the Lord can ever use such an instrument as that for his honor and glory, it will astonish me. The man that said that about the boy was Abraham Lincoln, that attended his church quite often afterwards. You know, so many things. And this young man went on. He didn't stay a young man. He dedicated himself as a vessel of honor. And one of his sayings, most famous sayings, was, "Faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy." Okay, so here we are. Love makes all things easy. You know, faith makes all things possible. So we want to fill this church. All I can tell you is use your faith and love. Faith and love. That was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was unlearned. He was poor of the poor. He had there was no background, no education or anything. And yet he built one of the greatest backgrounds as an evangelist, and the Dwight L. Moody Institute lives today, the church lives today. They've got so many things named after Dwight L. Moody. Matter of fact, Ireland, him and another young man, last name is I think is Sankey, went to Ireland when the Protestants and the Catholics were fighting so bad, and they had a revival, and said, one of the two's going to kill you. You've got to think about going to Ireland. They had one of the greatest revivals ever to hit Ireland and Britain. He came back, and he just kept on preaching. God doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're uneducated, if you have or have not, because God can take a fisherman and make him into an apostle. God can make a tax collector and make him into a vessel of honor that will honor him in a great way. You know, everybody says, oh, Dwight Moody, what a vessel of honor. You know who the vessel of honor was? Ed Kimball. Anybody know Ed Kimball? He was Dwight Moody's Sunday school teacher, and who led Dwight L. Moody to the Lord. Care for the little ones, like be a witness to Jesus Christ. Be there for the little ones, like Ben. Ben, boy, Ben just loves to give, loves them hugs. You know, be what God needs you to be. Serve where God needs you to serve. And lead where God is placing you to lead. And bring them in. Bring them in. You know, Lord, Master made a great supper. And he went out and he says, sent his servant, says, go get all of them that should be here, all those that belong here. You know who they are. Their seats occupied. They sit here, here, and here, and here. Go get them. They come back with excuse. Master didn't say anything other than get back out there and you go find the ones that's poor and unmaimed and those on the streets. Bring them in. Well, Lord, there's still room. Well, go find the maimed and the blind. Bring them in. God's table deserves honor, and we need to honor our Lord, and we need to be about His business in our daily life. Yeah, you're a vessel. Yeah, you may be flawed. I am. Yeah, God keeps working on me every day. He keeps working on you every day. Let God be the potter, and you leave the clay alone. Let Him be the potter. And you just be the clay. Here I am, Lord. Lord, I need you as the potter because I don't have what I need as a clay. Let me bring honor to you as your vessel, dear God. Dear Heavenly Father, just give us honor today in serving you. But let us be worshiping you and being vessels of honor to you. You know, what good is a vessel of honor if it's not to God? You know, it's worthless. You know, I've seen glasses and mugs and stuff, and I drop them, and I sweep it up and put. But man, if I drop my favorite cup, I'm looking for a chip. I want to be a vessel of honor for my Lord. I want to serve Him. I want you to serve Him. I want you to give God what He deserves. Put your life before. Let God use you. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he saw the failure. But I'm going to tell you a little bit as we're getting ready. Jeremiah, he went and preached to a nation that God knew that they wouldn't listen. God, what? You knew they wouldn't listen when you prepared me? He knew they wouldn't repent. How do I know that he knew they weren't going to repent? Because he was raising Babylon to come. But God was preparing the hearts of Jeremiah to say that even after God has a place, He's going to raise Jerusalem again. You know, don't be hopeless. Don't be helpless. Serve God in a great way, and God will answer you.